People of Earth, your planet has to be destroyed.
Welcome to Conspiracy, the show, the world's most trusted conspiracy theory podcast, with your hosts, Adam Todd Brown and Olivia Haidar.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conspiracy, the show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host, my favorite co-host of all. No co-host, but I do have a couple of guest co-hosts. Connor McSpadden and John Lewis are here. You know Connor and John, right? Everybody? I don't know who I'm asking. The people listening? Yeah, they know you. Hey, thank you both for doing the show. Connor, how's it going?
Good. I think me and Adam both need a little sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of qualifiers in that intro.
I'm running on fumes, but that's fine. We're talking about a subject I'm passionate about this week, so I'll perk up.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. John Lewis, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm 3 hours in the future, so it's a little bit later out here.
Oh, that's right. It's going to be tomorrow where you are before it's tomorrow where we are. Crazy, man. I'm smoking a lot of weed while we do this.
Will you tell me if I get my life together tomorrow? Will you call me if I figure it all out?
Sure. I'll try and give you guys some early lotto numbers, too.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
That would be great. We're talking about the October surprise, which is the theory that Reagan campaign officials conspired to delay the release of American hostages in Iran until after the 1980 election, so as to ruin President Jimmy Carter's chances of winning re-election. It's a claim that's never been conclusively proven, but it's totally been proven.
It's such a good idea. There's no way that they thought of it and didn't try it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as a political maneuver goes.
And they also weren't subtle about it at all.
No. And I said this before we started recording. I'm really concerned something like this could happen with Israel, because the two sides that are running for president right now, the incumbent Joe Biden is actively aiding the genocide there, but also he's at least saying, hey, can you stop killing civilians? It's getting over the top, man. Meanwhile, Trump is like, finish what you started. I just want Israel to finish what you started. I could very much see someone from the Trump campaign getting in Israel's ear and being like, hey, if you wait till we're in office, you can end this war however the fuck you want. And that's not quite the same thing, because at least with what Reagan did, there was a positive outcome in that American hostages were released. And in this case, it would just be Gaza getting nuked. But that difference aside, I could see this being a strategy that people use with Israel.
Am I thinking of another hostage situation? There wasn't a movie made about this where they sent a fake Hollywood crew over, or is that another one?
Are you talking about Argo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Argo, they got people out of the Canadian embassy, right?
I've never seen it. I just knew it was something about the hostage situation. Like, I just couldn't remember. I haven't seen it. That's what I said. Am I thinking of it? But I knew it had something to do with a hostage situation. I'm like, I thought it took place in the 80s.
Seeing as it's been 40 years since they've pulled this one, I feel like it's about time for them to trot it back out. The old hold the hostages to fuck up the negotiations move. You know? It's like Nixon and Kissinger fucking keeping the Vietnam War going for political leverage.
Yeah, that also happened. And yeah, I could absolutely see it happening with Israel. And with Reagan, this is a thing that I feel like there's a lot of questions about the October surprise part, the part where the CIA, or at least a man who went on to be the director of the CIA and the vice president, also former director of the CIA. We talk a lot about the October surprise part, but think about what happens next. This is a thing I've brought up so many times in regards to the CIA. The Carter administration was really clamping down on the CIA and what they could do in this country. And we were fresh off the Church Committee hearings, and everyone was talking about all the limits we needed to put on the CIA. And out of nowhere, for the first time in history, the current director of the CIA decides, you know what? I'm going to run for vice president. And he does. And the CIA pulls a bunch of strings. And they win. And then what happens next? Reagan almost gets assassinated in very weird MK Ultra fashion. And no one adds that tag to the October surprise when they're talking about the CIA, because what about that part? If that worked, the CIA was president then, because George Bush would have been president. That feels like the logical extension of this, and we're just too scared to talk about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's like, who else but the deep state could really be doing this over and over again? Or why does this keep happening this way? Why is it always a guy and there's an ace, the queen of diamonds and all this shit, but it's never just a kook with a rifle? I mean, we haven't done that since 63.
Even the Nipsey Hussle assassination felt weird to me. I mean, it felt like an assassination.
My buddy was telling me that he was all getting into all that Dr. CB cure cancer with alkaline water, whatever the fuck shit. And said that was part of the reason that he got.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, in defense of rappers, that's everyday common black folks. I know 40% of red black folks believe that Dr. CB and all that crazy shit. So,
and by that line of reasoning, Nick Cannon would be assassinated because he just started working on that documentary next, I think.
How are we going to lionize Nick Cannon when he dies? That's going to be an interesting legacy.
Yeah, that will be.
Nick Cannon, I don't know. Didn't he say he got cancer? Or no, maybe he did.
You're thinking of Nick Cancer.
Dr. Sebi killed apricot pits. So the October surprise, it's an incident that is alleged to have happened in 1979. It's talked about over the years as a thing that maybe happened. But the first time someone really came forward, and we'll link to all this in the notes, and said conclusively, hey, this did happen in a major way, was a New York Times writer named Gary Sick.
Also one of my favorite punk frontmen.
Yeah.
Right, that is an amazing stage name.
Yeah, it is great.
Steve Ignorant, Gary Sick, you know, the goats.
The article was called The Election Story of the Decade. And the first thing it points to is the very suspicious detail that it's not like Reagan took office and, oh man, a week later, he just, as if by magic, managed to get the hostages released. They were literally released 5 minutes after he was inaugurated. Exactly 5 minutes.
People hadn't even got drunk enough to pass out or make it to the after party. 5 minutes? Did they try and bury that shit or something? Like when they suspend a player on a Friday afternoon so nobody could talk about it?
I feel like they were trying to throw it in Carter's face a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of these things where even if you're a Reagan stan, how do you reconcile intellectually the notion that they got it done in 5 minutes the moment he became president?
Yeah, that seems like they did that on purpose. Like they wanted to really rub Carter's face in it and let him know.
They're clearly haven't had some kind of back channel going. And if you had that, then why didn't you fucking do it earlier?
So there's that. Then we find out, we meaning the world, that shortly after that part happened, arms start flowing to Iran, and I don't mean limbs, I mean like military weapons, which, worth noting, there was sanctions in place on Iran at the time, a full embargo that Reagan did not have enough time to have lifted by that point. So arms start flowing to Iran through Israel, and the guy who wrote this article, he worked in the Carter administration until that ended, and then worked on the staff of the National Security Council after that until 81. He says he heard about this in 81 and at first brushed it off as a conspiracy theory, and then started researching a book about the Reagan administration and their dealings with Iran. And that's where he started noticing all these patterns and was like, oh shit, maybe it's a real thing, which I don't know. I feel like people don't do that kind of investigative journalism these days, not about the government.
Well, even if you do, who's going to print it, you know?
Yeah.
You do it all and then it's on mintpressnews.com or whatever, and you got $400 or something. There's like 19 real journalists left.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are. Don't ask me, but.
Yeah, they're all on Substack or Medium, probably.
Yeah.
And also, Reagan was such a shitty president. Depending on who you are, this probably isn't even the biggest alleged conspiracy, because he also pumped metric tons of cocaine into the black neighborhood with the Iran-Contra scandal. All this shit happened within his first term, right?
This part happens before he's even elected.
Okay, got you. Yeah, but they were freed after he was inaugurated.
Technically, Carter worked out that deal, which had to be a little bittersweet for him. But this article, it started as a book project, and we've already gone through it, but this is a quote about basically the elevator pitch of this theory. In the course of hundreds of interviews in the U.S., Europe, and the Middle East, I have been told repeatedly that individuals associated with the Reagan-Bush campaign of 1980 met secretly with Iranian officials to delay the release of the American hostages until after the presidential election. For this favor, Iran was rewarded with a substantial supply of arms from Israel. And one of the obvious reasons this never came of anything is no one wanted to talk about it on the record. Go figure. That makes sense. Probably get murdered.
Yeah. And what's your prize? Guys like us think you're cool?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're a hero now.
A bunch of fucking people that nobody likes champion you and turn your family's lives upside down with fucking lunatics finding your personal information to bother you about their private affairs. Or you could just shut the fuck up, you know?
Yeah, the average American is going to be like, okay, they were still free, so.
Yeah, and I think that would be the stance a lot of people would take. It's like, big deal, they got out. And it's like, they were hostages. And the incoming president was like, just keep them for a little bit. Bring them home eventually. It's fine. That is highly goddamn unethical, if nothing else. Very dangerous.
Yeah, they could have died in that time, right?
They were at war, essentially, at that time. There was all kinds of political unrest. Iran was not a safe place. So to leave them there just so you could win an election, I guess that's how you make America great again. That was Reagan's slogan, too. So according to these sources that Gary Sick talked to, William Casey, who was then Reagan's campaign manager, but future CIA director, met with a man named Jamshid Hanshemi, an international arms dealer.
Excuse you.
With ties to the Iranian government at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington. I bet that's a pretty nice hotel, if it's still open. And he made it known that he wanted to prevent Jimmy Carter from gaining any political advantage from the Iranian hostage crisis. We don't really have enough time to go into all the details of that, but it's exactly what it sounds like. A bunch of students seized the American embassy in Iran and took a whole bunch of people hostage, including the father of a girl I used to work with at Playboy.
No shit.
Yeah, she was a writer also.
She wasn't a model.
No, I made that sound way more scandalous than it was. Not that it would be scandalous to be a model at Playboy either, but.
It's just a weird trajectory. My dad got kidnapped in Iran, so I became a Playboy model.
Yeah, I don't know if the two would have been completely related.
I don't know. There's guys that were on The Amazing Race for 4 episodes that got into life coaching. It doesn't have to make sense.
So the goal here was to keep Carter from scoring political points by successfully negotiating for the release of these hostages. And William Casey and Ronald Reagan maybe were ready to deal to make it happen. That's always the question about Reagan is, did he even know any of this shit was happening? And the deeper you get into his presidency, I don't know if he knew anything that was happening related to his administration or just in general, because it seems like he had dementia while he was in office.
Even during his first term?
I don't think during his first term.
I think he honestly just liked the part where he got to spin these folksy yarns and shit. So I think he probably just sat around looking at his lines, good actor that he was, and cared very little about what was going on beneath him.
There is a very famous quote from Reagan where an interviewer asks him if he thinks being an actor helped during his years as president. And his response was, I don't know how you'd be a good president without being a good actor.
Wow.
At least he was honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's honest.
Really giving away the whole game there, Ronnie.
And also to go back to my theory for a second that maybe the CIA was behind him getting shot. If that's the case, what are the chances he survived and someone got in his ear and was like, all right, I guess we are stuck together for the next few years. You are going to do what the fuck we say, or you'll get shot again, probably.
That had to be just a warning, because you would think the CIA would have somebody more talented. Didn't the guy shoot him from only a few feet away?
Yeah, just fucking botched it.
Right.
Someone should do a CIA kill-death ratio on their coup attempts. They're probably kind of low batting average. They tried to kill Castro 400 times and couldn't do it. They tried to put poison in a swimsuit and gave it to him as a gift. You know, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I think I heard one time they made a camera gun or something. It was supposed to fire one bullet, but I guess when you building stuff like that, it's hard to make a high caliber.
They made everything a gun. He went if he went to a ball game, there was a guy with a hot dog gun, you know, right?
Yeah, the CIA was way into that for a while. What can we make into a gun? The shellfish toxin gun is still my favorite.
I think the show Get Smart is probably depicts the CIA more accurately than any. I'm actually 60 years old.
I was about to say, I heard of the movie Get Smart. I think I knew it was a show. I never seen it.
Hop on TV Land and get acquainted. It's a fucking banger, dude. Get Smart rules.
So yeah, this source that Gary Sick talked to, who claims that he first talked to William Casey, he says he set up these meetings in Madrid, Spain, between Casey and an Iranian cleric named Mehdi Karoubi. And by the end of those meetings, it was agreed that they would work together regarding the release of the hostages. In exchange, again, the Reagan administration promised that once they were in office, they would not only sell arms to Iran through Israel, but also return assets that were frozen by the American government and also help them acquire military supplies. From what I've read, it seems like that was what got Iran to the table in the first place, was the Carter administration not only put this embargo on selling arms to Iran, but also froze all of their assets in the United States. And Iran needed that money. And so Reagan promised to give them that money back. And so those hostages had to stay a little longer. I bet they were treated all right, though.
I was thinking that, too. But how well could they be treated? Because then they get back, like, it wasn't that bad. But also, they might just chalk it up to people trying to do Stockholm Syndrome. Because just because you a hostage, you don't got to treat them bad. At that point, it's just a bargaining chip.
One of the things the CIA does in a situation like that, or the intelligence community in general, I kind of use CIA as a blanket term for American intelligence. But One of the things they'll do in a situation like that is intercept those people before they can talk to anyone. Almost like a crooked cop would do, where they pull them aside and try to talk to a person before their lawyer can get there. And the CIA will pull people aside and be like, all right, tell us about your experience. And then they'll tell them, and then they'll be like, all right, well, here's what you're going to tell people your experience was, or here's what you're going to leave out about your story. And not even as a threat, probably just as, come on, take one for the team. It's the United States. We need you to make these people look like assholes. More people than not are going to go along with that. You're just happy to be back on American soil in front of a government that you assume is friendly.
And they probably convince you you're doing something patriotic.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So many people just blindly trust the government.
Yeah, that's kind of why this show exists. If you don't believe any conspiracy theories, you just implicitly trust the government. And that's nuts.
I think it might be likely that less people than ever trust the government, but it's not like nobody's organizing or doing anything about it. You know, it's just.
Ask Adam about trying to book guests on his show. If you believe that.
Yeah. People are very reluctant to do this show. It's conspiracy theories.
Only people who have resigned themselves to never working anywhere significant can brave the waters of conspiracy the show.
This is tangentially connected, but while we're on the subject of Reagan, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but I was reading this book called The New Jim Crow. And it's essentially about how basically America replaced 1960s Jim Crow with the prison industrial complex. So I might get the dates wrong a little bit, but basically Ronald Reagan started this whole war on drugs campaign back when drug usage and arrests were at an all-time low in America. I think that campaign was in 1981, and crack cocaine didn't start showing up until 83-ish or something like that. So that's just a weird coincidence that we really didn't even have a drug problem. We weren't just throwing up every black person standing on the corner at that time. And then he makes this campaign like, well, guys, we got to do something about the drugs. And then cocaine just blows up and they locking people up for smoking weed.
I love that every person on earth has a Reagan impression.
It's actually pretty fun to do. This is my ADHD brain. Why do all presidents just have a weird voice? You notice that? Like almost all of them.
Yeah, I think it's just that we pick their voices apart.
I think it's like peacocking, like the pickup artist thing where you wear a Dr. Seuss hat so people remember you. It's just like we gravitate towards unique things.
Yeah.
So if a guy's like got this weird George H.W. Bush lilt in his voice, it's kind of like, all right, man, for sure.
So back to the October surprise. After these meetings are alleged to have happened, and they met a bunch of times about this, it wasn't just those two meetings. There were, I think, 10 to 15 meetings, it's been said. But after that, a really weird series of events happens. Carter had been in negotiations with Iran to get these hostages released. And the thing that was holding it up was their demand for military aid and weapons. Carter didn't want to do that. And after these meetings happen, first, Iran just out of the blue drops that demand for military aid. But they're also like, and we're done negotiating. We don't want to talk about this anymore. We'll get back with you after the end of the election. And then, as if by magic, 5 days before the inauguration, Iran is like, all right, we'll talk again. And then they just let the hostages go 5 minutes after the inauguration happens. So I feel like they were being pretty blatant about what happened.
What's going on in the Carter administration? Are they just getting the cold shoulder?
They at first were making some headway with Iran, but basically part of these meetings involved going out to leaders in these different countries that were either aligned with Iran or going to leaders in Iran. And what they were basically saying is, look, you'll get a better deal from Reagan. If you wait and release the hostages under Reagan, you'll get a better deal. Because they were going to have to release those hostages at some point, if for no other reason than they needed their assets unfrozen. Reagan's team knew that, or at least Bill Casey knew it. So he sent people out to tell them exactly that. If you wait for Reagan, you'll get a better deal. And they agreed to it, and Reagan won, and they immediately released the hostages. Nuts.
I'm just kind of surprised America didn't SEAL Team 6 that shit when they stopped negotiating.
Oh, I forgot that part. Carter did have a rescue operation planned.
Oh, yeah. I did read that in the notes, and they moved them.
Yeah, well, the implication seems to be that someone in the Reagan administration knew about, and I think it's Gary Sick's article that does say someone in either in the Carter administration or familiar with the Carter administration tipped off the Reagan administration about this plan to launch a second rescue operation. And it seems like the implication is the Reagan administration in turn told Iran, and Iran just moved all the hostages. Because if they were planning that, they were planning it based on all those hostages being in one place. So you just move them, and it sets that plan back long enough that they can't do it before the election happens. Shady. So shady.
Just kicking the can down the road, kind of.
Yeah. Allegedly. This is all alleged.
Yeah, and the hostages probably won't even believe that. Imagine your government save you, then it's probably be hard to convince you that they sabotage you for a few months.
Yeah, you'd just be so grateful to be out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you almost wouldn't want to question it.
Exactly.
And so after all that happens, Reagan wins the election. And this was a story Gary Sick claimed was verified by sources from 8 different countries on 4 continents. The PBS show Frontline did an episode about it shortly after his article was released. They interviewed Gary Sick and a bunch of those sources. I cannot find that episode anywhere. I didn't look that hard, but it's not the kind that just pops up when you search it. I mean, some older TV shows and programs like that, you just find them.
You said PBS?
Yeah. I found a page on the Frontline website about the episode, and it has just this episode is unavailable.
Probably got to donate like $500 to one of them telephone Sesame Street tries to get that shit.
Yeah.
You got to get a number of tote bags before it's on the table.
Yeah.
My 8-year-old broke ass wanted to donate money so bad when I was a kid to those. I wanted an Elmo cup or something.
This was way back in the day. I was super duper high and watching a Grateful Dead concert on PBS. That's how high I was. I was watching a Grateful Dead concert. Don't like them at all as a band, but I was so into this concert. For 1 second, I was like, maybe I will pay $150 for a copy of this on CD. And then I was like, wait. I bet I can just buy this somewhere, right? I bet I can just get this in stores for like $29.99. You sure can. It's just a regular ass Grateful Dead CD that you can buy. And they were like, $150 will get you this on CD.
Those motherfuckers. The markup on jam band rock is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like French fries or sodas. The profit margin is huge.
So that 1991 article, it led to a congressional investigation that never really amounted to anything. And it seems like a lot of it hinged on them not being able to prove William Casey was ever in Madrid for those first two meetings. But in 2011, investigative journalist Robert Perry found a memo in the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library archives that confirmed Casey was in Madrid. It was a 91 memo from Deputy White House Counsel Paul Beach. He was responding to a subpoena from the committee that eventually investigated this, told them he had just met with a counterpart at the State Department named Ed Williamson. And this is a quote. In this regard, Ed mentioned only a cable from the Madrid embassy indicating that Bill Casey was in town for purposes unknown, end quote. Whoops. And even then, this is still just considered like, ooh, did it happen?
He was just on holiday. Yeah. There's nothing to see here.
When you do this shit, it's not that nobody can ever find out. It's that they can't find out until nobody gives a shit. Once nobody gives a shit, then it's like, yeah, hey, look, we did it. This is how. Suck our dicks. We're probably doing something now.
Yeah, that's one of the tenets of the Freedom of Information Act request is, yeah, we'll tell you anything after like 25 years.
Yeah. That was the old us.
Yeah. You're going to have to chill out first. Don't be so emotional. Then we'll send it to you.
And also, we could black out 70% of it if we want.
Oh, yeah. That too. Yeah. So many files have been released that just leave more questions than they answer. And the one I'll always go back to is Elvis. Why are 100 pages of his FBI file still concealed for national security reasons?
We know everything about this man. We died in the shitter, for God's sakes, you know?
Shit, man. I was reading Muhammad Ali's Freedom of Information. I think I read 400 pages and I was on volume 2 of 15 or something crazy. They were on his ass about everything.
Yeah.
It's one that was like, yeah, Muhammad Ali traveled to Dubai, some country, and he got a gift. And we're going to arrest him because he didn't claim the gift on customs or something like that. And I think they did arrest. It was the craziest shit. Like I always say, black folks, we don't trust the government. So we more susceptible to believe in conspiracies. But when you tell liberals shit about this from the government, they were like, oh, no, that's right wing stuff. When you start talking about conspiracies, do you not see what the hell is going on? You think crack just magically showed up? You think these hostages literally 5 minutes just got freed after inauguration? What are you talking about?
Yeah, this one seems pretty obvious to me. All of Reagan's stuff gets so well documented. Aside from the invasion of Panama, if you ever dig into the invasion of Panama, one of the most alarming aspects of it is there's some military guy, I don't remember who, but some high-ranking military guy who's like, well, the reason things went so well in Panama and why we were able to get in and get out so quick is the media wasn't allowed in, so we could just do whatever we wanted.
And oh, damn.
Think of the implications of what he's saying.
Right.
If there was no media, then I would run amok over the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah. No media, so we could just do whatever we wanted. And that war was over in days. I think 2 or 3 days. And there were a couple. I think Grenada, we did the same thing under Reagan. I'm surprised we stopped. With the first Gulf War, we put a lot of restrictions on the media that weren't in place during even the Vietnam War. But yeah, during those little minor Latin American invasions, I mean, minor by our standards, probably meant a lot to those countries. We don't know. We don't know what happened. There are no pictures from the invasion of Panama, I believe. It's one of them. There's no pictures.
Some of these lasted for such a short time. I never even heard of Panama. The only thing I know about the Gulf War is the badass Bart Simpson t-shirts in there. And that's about the only...
Yeah, the Van Halen song, Panama, lasted longer than our invasion of Panama. Fucking 3 minutes. So along with Robert Perry finding that memo, in 2023, for a reason we'll get to in a second, a bunch of people started writing about this again. And it was almost sort of a victory lap where people were like, confirmed. This is confirmed. The October surprise happened. One of the first articles that came out in March 2023 was kind of a follow-up article from Gary Sick, written with three other investigative journalists who had all worked on this before. And they, in part because of the Robert Perry memo, but also because of another recent development, were kind of like, it's a closed case, and here's why. We'll link to the article. They run through a lot of different reasons why they think this is confirmed history. On top of that, The Intercept, also in March 2023, published an article detailing all of the various people and groups that have confirmed the October surprise happened. Some of the names on that list: former Iranian President Abolhassan Bani Sadr, former Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir, former Palestinian Liberation Organization head Yasser Arafat. So that's a very diverse lineup there. Former French intelligence head Alexandre de Maranchet, the Russian government, which don't even put that one on the list. People aren't going to take it seriously.
The RZA, the JZA, Inspector Deck, Raekwon the Chef, U-God, Ghostface Killer, and the Method Man.
Russia probably ain't even had shit to do with it. They just wanted to jump in with it. Yeah, we seen that shit.
Yeah, Russia's just hating on us in general, so who knows?
They're like, what y'all need is to co-sign.
And also the George H.W. Bush White House makes the list because of that memo that went out in 1991 while Bush was in office. But the reason they all started coming forward to take this sort of victory lap in March 2023 is because the man who did it came forward. Once Jimmy Carter entered hospice care, this guy named Ben Barnes, who was at one point a very influential Texas politician, he was a protege of former Texas Governor John Connally, who I don't know if he's been involved in any other conspiracy theories. Maybe people should look into it. JFK, he was in the JFK car. According to Ben Barnes, John Connally was like, look, we're going on this trip, and what I need you to do is go to these different world leaders and tell them that if Iran waits for Reagan to be in office, they'll get a better deal. Ben Barnes claims he is the person who was told to deliver that message. He said he came forward because Jimmy Carter was dying, and he felt like Jimmy Carter got kind of a raw deal in that way, which true. And he said at the time he didn't quite know what he was doing, and I have no idea how that would be the case. How would you not know what the implications behind delivering a message like that are? I think he's just trying to make himself feel better.
I imagine these guys have to do a lot of mental gymnastics with this job to just go home and sleep at night.
Yeah.
You got to come up with some kind of story to tell yourself.
Yeah. And it's weird how this has transformed over the years from just a story in the newspapers that legitimate outlets were reporting on. We'll link to the first Gary Sick article, but the link is actually kind of a database of all of the press reporting on the October surprise. And it's really, really long. And it's all the mainstream outlets. And they're just like, hey, what the fuck? What did Reagan know? Did this happen? And if this happened now, all of those people would be called conspiracy theorists. This has kind of reset to the point where it's back to just being a conspiracy theory. But there's no way it didn't happen. It obviously happened. And I don't know. I just think it's fascinating how the relationship with the word conspiracy theory has developed since a CIA guy was our president, George Bush.
I think it was Colin Cowherd who was actually talking about that the other day, like how it kind of flips sides between conspiracies and how people look at censorship. Like he was saying something like back in the 80s, the people that complained about censorship would be the liberals. I forgot what example he used, but now he's like, now it's the right that wants to ban books and stuff. I'm messing up his metaphor, but like you said, now it's the right that wants to ban books and tell you what books your kids can't read. But 20 years ago, they were the ones complaining about censorship, but now they're behind it and they don't want certain books, or they don't want kids to learn this and learn that. Seems like America didn't really learn its lessons from the last 40 years.
Yeah, it's one of the most disappointing things about conspiracy theorists, because so much of that early 90s New World Order shit was like, listen, fuck this tyrannical government. They are coming to take your guns. They want to kill us. You can't trust them. And it turns out all along, those motherfuckers were just looking for the right boot to lick. And they found Trump and they're like, never mind, that American government's good. And it's like, are you fucking out of your mind? What makes you think any version of that government has your best interest in mind? Just because it's Trump? Based on what fucking history? It's disappointing because there's no resistance left.
And then when you have a perfectly legitimate claim to scandals such as we have here, you just thought of in the same breath as the earth is flat and Amanda Bynes is a clone, people, you know? So the well is sort of poisoned, or I don't know, they go to college, but one of those rhetorical fallacies.
Right. And also, it's such a boring conspiracy that the crazier conspiracies are the ones least likely to be true. This isn't that crazy of a conspiracy that they just wanted a different president to be in office before freeing him.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, JFK one, that's the most believable one to me because it's the least sexy. When I heard that one, I was like, that actually sounds like what happened. Your conspiracy that it...
Secret Service guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually tripped and shot him by mistake. It's so boring that even conspiracy theorists don't want to believe it because they always got some Hollywood shit and 50 people keeping a secret and replacement bodies and stuff.
And it's the best one because everyone wins. The people who think the government covered it up win. The people who think Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin win. Everyone's right, according to that theory. And I hate that it didn't catch on more. And yeah, there's a lot of things. The sensational story is usually not the one you want to chase in any situation when you're talking conspiracy theories. Like with 9/11, the popular one is Bush did 9/11. And it's like, are you sure it's not Saudi Arabia? There's your conspiracy theory. There's the one you want to chase. But if you're a government that needs to control the narrative on things like that, you're going to be more than happy to let people chase the wild bullshit one that no one can prove. I think another good example is QAnon. That is such a fantastical conspiracy theory that eventually boils down to Democrats harvesting adrenochrome and drinking kids' blood. And it's so wild that people hear it and they're immediately like, all right, yeah, well, that's bullshit. But meanwhile, sex trafficking and military intelligence, I don't think that is a crazy question to ask, especially in light of Jeffrey Epstein. Who was he working on behalf of? Because he wasn't doing that for himself.
Doesn't seem like something that you could do freelance, even if you were extravagantly wealthy.
Yeah, someone would have just murdered Jeffrey Epstein.
You would have need to be sponsored by a larger entity.
Yeah, there's a guy named Michael Aquino who we really need to do an episode about, because we did an episode of Pretty Scary about this disappearance that happened in Iowa in the 80s. A kid named Johnny Gosch. He was a newspaper delivery boy, and he just got abducted off the street. And his mom, one, is convinced he's still alive and claims he came to her house one night and explained to her what happened and was like, it's too dangerous for me to stay here. I can't stay here with you. You'll be in danger. She said he had a handler with him. And what he claimed was that he had been kidnapped and basically sold into this sex trafficking ring that was used to blackmail powerful business people. And other people came forward and corroborated this kid's story.
Is this the book Who Took Johnny?
I think it probably is, I'm sure.
Okay.
And they named this guy, I think they called him the Colonel. And it really seems like they're talking about Michael Aquino. And Michael Aquino, for one, he's the founder of the Church of Satan, but he's also military intelligence. He was implicated in a scandal that involved an attempted kidnapping of a baby from a military daycare center. And he eventually was found to be involved in a bunch of weird pedophile shit.
God, it's hard to find a better resume than that, right?
Yeah.
That's some
Christ,
shit. That's
right.
Church of Satan, pedophile, whatever you want, it's there. I think I know this guy who you're talking about. This is a surprising amount of occult shit that went down in the government, especially after Operation Paperclip, because the Nazis were all into magic and whatnot.
Yeah, Michael Aquino's a really infamous figure who probably deserves an episode because...
Oh yeah, I've read all about this guy.
Yeah, those are the questions you should be asking when it comes to the government and child sex trafficking. It shouldn't be our Democrats drinking blood. It should be, is military intelligence using sex trafficking for blackmail means and to get leverage on people? And if so, the obvious next question is, so we're doing government-sanctioned sex trafficking then? And that's also a pretty big scandal. It doesn't have to be adrenochrome and drinking blood. That's good enough. I feel like that will get some elected officials ousted also.
Yeah, a secret satanic pedophile sex cult is juicy enough.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, why does there have to be pizza involved? Leave pizza out of this.
Yeah.
Damn.
Also, gay frogs and stuff. People like Alex Jones that actually dropping real facts don't live that long. Government has proved they're willing to kill people. That's what happened to the Black Panthers and the whole civil rights movement of the 60s. The people that were actually on to something, dead or got strung out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, King, Kennedy, X. That guy, Michael Aquino, the thing I read about him is he did a whole satanic ritual in the basement of a Nazi castle as a matter of official U.S. government business somehow.
Yeah, and we did that episode a while back about the Finders.
Finders are fucking creepy.
Yeah, if you don't think it's weird, you are the government, probably.
Yeah.
Because if you really dig into it, there's all these agencies that referred the Finders to authorities as child sex traffickers and child pornographers. And it was blatant. It was obvious. And at every level, they agreed until both times it got kicked up to the CIA. And the CIA was like, nope, that case is closed. We're not talking about that anymore. So what about that? What about that instead of drinking blood and adrenochrome?
The loose ends are so good. And there's so many of them.
And I think that is a really effective strategy the American government has employed is, well, the best way to get ahead of shit like this is just put a crazier story out there and let that fucking community run with it.
Yeah, you don't have to defend yourself.
That's the phrase I was looking for. It's not poisoning the well, it's a turd in the punch bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get some guy to act like a fucking kook so that we all look stupid.
Is that a real Turner?
Yeah, I read the book John Ronson wrote called Them, Adventures with Extremists. It's, so he's referring to Alex Jones back in the 90s at the time. They actually, him and Alex Jones go to the Bohemian Grove together and they get in this book. It's pretty interesting, John Ronson book. But yeah, they described him as a turd in the punch bowl, thinking that it was the government's idea to just let this guy go run his yap and he'll make questioning the government look stupid. He does more harm working than not working.
Yeah, I believe it. And a lot of prominent conspiracy theorists, when he first came on the scene at the time, said it, including Bill Cooper, the guy that wrote Behold a Pale Horse. But there is some belief that Alex Jones is exactly that. He was dropped into that scene by the government for the benefit of the government. Because once a story goes through that fucking wacko, it's immediately discredited. And I've said it before, when the internet really became a thing we all had access to, the government obviously had a choice to make because information was going to spread. So do you crack down on it like China does and expend all these resources and manpower and look bad on the world stage? Or do you just let that information flow, but at the same time, you start spreading this idea that anytime you question the government, you're a conspiracy theorist? And that's kind of what's happened now, where people hit a wall when it comes to questioning the official government version of events. People are just like, that's a conspiracy theory. Sorry, I don't want to talk about it.
It's like the Kyrie Irving effect. If Kyrie Irving could have waited like 6 months, he could have not looked crazy and spoke out about what's going on in Israel. But instead, he fucking tweeting books and movies from Instagram. Dude, if you just would have waited 6 months to a year and then spoken about what's going on, but now people like, Kyrie, ain't nobody trying to hear that shit. You were tweeting out crazy-ass documentaries that you didn't even finish.
I've heard people say when both sides have a point, you're being played. I don't know. Lately, I noticed that Democrats are all into respecting the institutions of our government. If we don't give them meaning and power, who will? And Republicans are like, these fucking institutions are stupid anyway. Fuck the filibuster, whatever, whatever. And it's like, yeah, I kind of see why people believe either of you. But it's just a bunch of shit to keep you from looking at what matters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's divide and conquer. It works really well. So I think that's our episode, right? I think we're all on board. The October surprise happened probably, right? I think so.
Yeah, not since Elvis lived have I believed something more.
I don't know what the conspiracy would have to be about Reagan for me to not believe it. I was researching him for a video I just put out. I don't even know if we could ever have a worse president. He fucking destroyed unions and the middle class in this country.
Yeah, it would have to be something like Reagan could dunk. And you could show me a video and I'd be like, deep fake. Get the fuck out of here. Reagan couldn't dunk. But yeah, beyond that, no. You tell me a conspiracy theory about Reagan, I'm in. Fuck that guy. Oh, he was the worst. And this is another reason why he was the worst. So I think that's our episode. We did it. Connor, John, thank you both for doing the pod. I appreciate it. This feels like the opportune time to plug some shit. AdamToddBrown.substack.com. You should go there and read my writings. What else do we got? Connor, what do you got to plug?
Watch my stand-up comedy special live in Tucson on YouTube.com.
John.
Just look up my YouTube channel. I dropped a video a couple weeks ago. It's John Lewis, JWNLOUIS. I'm working on another one that's kind of a conspiracy. I'm thinking about this New York Times bestseller that I'm pretty sure his biggest book is a piece of bullshit.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
And that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Connor, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
John, say goodbye.
All right, guys. See you guys next time with the deep state.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
People of Earth, your planet is about to be destroyed.